Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
And you know, tonight, I really want you to lean in. I feel I was praying about what to share, and we just got done with just such a remarkable series in Maui called Fractured. And it's really overcoming the pains of church hurt. And we had to be pretty brave in navigating some of these topics because many of us here have probably been hurt in the church in some way. And you know what? We didn't want to shy away from those topics, but we wanted to hit them head on to see people healed and changed and transformed. And Pastor Josh preached so many good ones on what he had one called No More Throwing Stones. Honor one another, but bound together, sledgehammers and slings. So if you are interested in hearing the rest of the series, it's all on YouTube and you'll be so encouraged. I believe we're going to create a Bible study or something that goes along with it as well. But tonight, I want to share with you a powerful message on forgiveness, finding beauty in broken pieces. Beauty in broken pieces. And you know, tonight, we're going to focus on the power of forgiveness. And I think this is a message that can be preached probably every season because no matter where you turn or where you go, you're having to learn how to forgive and not be offended. Actually, I also preached a message about being unoffendable. So if you want to listen to that one too, that's part of the Fractured series. And I want to be a person that isn't offended. I want to be a person that can move past the struggles and the disagreements and everything else that comes. Amen. So turn with me to Colossians 3:13 as we dive into the word. And as I break it down, and if you've never heard me preach before, I'm the kind of preacher that loves the power of the Holy Ghost, but I love the practical. I want the step-by-steps. I want to know the steps that I can take home and apply this week. So tonight, I'm praying that the power of God is going to show up. He's going to move in your heart, but you're also going to get keys and steps and application to live it out in everyday life. Amen? So let's read together in Colossians 3:13. It says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're already here. You're already moving. But we ask right now, just put your hand on your heart, because this is a topic that's going to hit pretty close to home for a lot of us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and we say, have your way. Lord, I pray that those that have suffered hurt, those that have dealt with pain, Lord, abuse, Lord, words that have been spoken and things that have kept them bound for years, the unforgiveness and offense. God, we thank you tonight. People are going to be set free. People are going to walk in their full purpose. And they're going to be, Lord, men and women that rise above, Lord. And we thank you for that. So may this word speak, Lord, personally and perfectly to each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, when I grew up in Maui, my parents still live in the same house I was brought home from the hospital. Anybody lives in the same house that you came home from the hospital? Raise your hand. Anybody? Wow. See, it's pretty rare, right? I'm like, thank God that I get to even bring my kids to the home that I was raised in. Well, my parents put a stained glass window, and I think we have a picture up there. And when I was a young girl, they put this beautiful stained glass window. This is in my home, my family home in Maui. And it's this beautiful picture. You know, they were in water treatment. They were business owners. And so this was kind of like their business logo, but it also had significance of God's healing and God's living water in my family, like that living water. And, you know, when you look at a stained glass window, or I think we have a picture of a mosaic, it's this beautiful understanding of taking broken pieces and putting them together to make something beautiful. And in the right hands, those broken pieces, in a skilled artisan, they take those broken pieces and they form something so exquisite. And these art forms symbolize how God can take the broken pieces of our lives, our hurts, our pain, and create something beautiful through forgiveness. Amen? And just like when I was a little girl, the light would shine in through that window when the sun came about 3 or 4 in the evening, and it would come through the room and it would make a rainbow all over the living room. In the same way, when God's presence, when God's light begins to shine through your life, it begins to reveal his promises. It begins to reveal his goodness. And when you let him do it, God will make something beautiful. But you know, my family has gone through our fair share of betrayal, brokenness. But just like the stained glass window, God has taken the broken pieces of my family and has turned it into something so beautiful. The healing power of generational forgiveness far outweighs the destructive cycle of unforgiveness and bitterness. I am here today as a sign and a wonder that when parents make the choice of repentance and forgiveness, that God can turn what was broken, what was ugly, what was horrible into something beautiful. How many of you want that generational blessing to be passed down from generation to generation? And just here, I have this glass. And many of us have suffered brokenness. We have suffered pain where we've been shattered, and the broken pieces of our life, it feels like that's all we are, is a bunch of broken pieces. We go, God, how can you do something good with these broken pieces? They're in a million different pieces. How can you put it back together? And you know what? The Lord showed me that unforgiveness is like holding onto a broken piece of glass. It cuts us more than it harms those who hurt us. Think about that. We hold the broken pieces of our life, and when we do not forgive and when we do not release the hurt and the offense, we think that it's gonna hurt somebody else, but really it starts hurting us. If I carried these pieces of glass wherever I went, when I got in the car tonight or when I tried to brush my teeth, I would have bloody cuts all over my body. But that's what happens when we hold on to unforgiveness. When we don't let go of the broken pieces of our life and we don't turn it over to Jesus, it becomes a bloody mess in our own lives. In Ephesians 4:31, it urges us to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. When we cling to unforgiveness, it festers in our lives. It becomes something that pulls out resentment. It's a poison that begins to not only spread into your life, but in your family's life. I've seen those in the church where it's a generational curse of bitterness. I've been the recipient of a family who had bitterness towards different people. And because they saw their parents model it, their kids begin to treat people the same way, had the same prejudices, had the same offenses, couldn't break through with their relationship with God. I was a youth pastor for 10 plus years, and I could tell when the parents were holding on to something, the kids manifested in the same way. Moms and dads, we've got to take the first step in forgiveness so that our kids can see you modeling it to them. The cost of unforgiveness is high. It affects our emotional, spiritual, and even physical well-being. And I believe that God wants to have a church that is full of people that are healed and whole and don't struggle with unforgiveness. Amen? But before I break down truly how you can get free, I want to share a few signs with you that you haven't maybe truly forgiven. Anybody want to know those? Because, you know, sometimes they think, oh, I forgave, or I just, you know, you just shove it under the rug, or you just don't deal with it anymore. Well, as I go through this list, see in your own life if any of these things are still happening in your life. The first one is resentment and bitterness. You still feeling angry when thinking about that person or that incident. So you're carrying around this resentment and bitterness towards maybe a situation or a person. How about this one? Replaying the incident, constantly reliving the hurt in your mind and not being able to move on. See, some of us are caught in like a hamster's wheel. Because we haven't forgiven, because we haven't released, we are not being able to move on. And I believe that God is even speaking to somebody in here that you're not moving on to the new season that God has because you're staying in that hamster wheel of unforgiveness. How about this one? Has anybody ever done this one? Avoidance. Ooh, avoidance, right? Going out of your way to avoid that person. Or for instance, they go to first service, so you're gonna go to second service. They sit on the right side, so I'm definitely gonna sit on the left side. But you know, somehow God tends to always put you in the same path of the person that you don't wanna see. Because God wants you to confront it. God wants you to deal with it. God wants you to heal and not hold on to that any longer. This is another one, bringing up the offense. You bring up the offense in unrelated conversations. Now listen, we just push life groups. Life groups is not a place to be sharing all your dirty laundry and talking bad about that person. And you said, oh, sister, so did you hear what sister so-and-so said or did to me? And you begin to be a gossip sesh versus a prayer meeting or a Bible study, right? You keep bringing it up. You keep talking about it. You gotta let it go. Another one is desire for revenge. Uh-oh. You keep thinking about wanting that person to suffer, maybe like you suffered. Difficulty praying for them. You struggle to wish them well or to pray for them. If you struggle in that, you could be still holding on to unforgiveness. Maybe judgmental thoughts and negative emotions. You harshly judge the person, holding them at a different standard. Sometimes we judge people in such a high way that sometimes we don't look at ourselves and judge ourselves by that same standard. But the last, okay. You guys are a little quiet tonight. I know this is a little bit of a hard time. Take a deep breath. Everybody take a deep breath. The last one is lack of peace. Feeling unsettled or distressed when thinking about the person or situation. And I've been there where it's like it consumes your mind, it consumes your heart, you can't find peace, you have a hard time ministering, you have a hard time moving forward. See, God doesn't want you staying stuck. God doesn't want you staying in these situations. So tonight I wanna explore five crucial aspects of forgiveness. See, each one reveals how we can walk in healing, restoration, and a deeper relationship with God. See, why do we need to forgive? Because when we have unforgiveness, we think we're putting a hand distance. We're putting space between us and that person, but really we're putting space between us and God. That's why when you struggle with relationships and unforgiveness this way, horizontally, it usually will affect your relation vertically. But let me tell you something. If you want to forgive, you got to go vertically and then you got to go horizontally. And what does that make? It makes a perfect cross because you've got to go to Jesus who knows and identifies and who's walked that line of forgiveness and forgiving you and forgiving me. And he knows and he identifies with you. So number one crucial aspect of forgiveness. Here we go. Are you ready? Write notes. These are good. This is something that you should carry with you for the rest of your life because you're going to need it, all right? Forgiveness is not a suggestion. It's a command. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." I don't know how much clearer the Bible can be, how clear it can be for us that when we hold on to unforgiveness, it's saying that Jesus cannot forgive us. And yet we have Christians that have been Christians for years that are holding on to offense and bitterness, and they like to bypass. You know those scriptures we like to just flip past? This is one of those scriptures we like to say, oh, I'll just flip past that. I like to opt out on that one, Jesus, today. But let's get it straight. He doesn't let us opt out on any of the scriptures. He commands us to forgive. You know, it's like my kids. Well, actually, let me rewind. Not my girls, but my son. If I gave him the choice to brush his teeth, to take a shower, to do those things, do you think that he, as a 13-year-old boy, would do it without me commanding him to do it? I don't know if you have any teenage boys or middle school boys in your home, but I believe that if he had the choice, he probably wouldn't brush his teeth, he probably wouldn't shower, and who knows if he would change his underwear, right? He's like, Mom, I'm not doing as much laundry, right? You know, they'll think of a way. In the same way as a parent that we instruct our children and we don't give them a choice in certain things because we know if they don't do that, he's gonna have cavities, he's gonna have pain, and he's gonna have a long line of bills for the rest of his life. I keep telling them, I said, honey, if you don't take care of your teeth, you're going to have some big bills in the future, right? This is for all you kids listening, brush your teeth, all right? Parents, you can thank me later. So in the same way, God doesn't give us a choice, because if he gave us a choice, we would probably be like our kids and choose not to, or choose to avoid it and choose to not fulfill what God has put on our lives. See, we must cultivate a lifestyle of forgiveness. Everyone say that with me, a lifestyle of forgiveness. As a human living with other imperfect humans, forgiveness is a lifestyle. It's a daily thing. How many of you married couples do I have in here? How many of you say, forgiveness is a lifestyle? How many parents do I have in here? How many of you know you gotta forgive your kids as a lifestyle? How many kids do I have in here? You know you gotta forgive your parents. It's a lifestyle of forgiveness. You gotta get good. If you're gonna get good at anything in Christianity, you better get good at forgiving. You wanna go anywhere in ministry? You better get good at forgiving. You wanna be a pastor and a minister and a world changer? Then you better have tough skin and a soft heart. You better love people hard, and you better not get easily offended. If I can give any ministry tips, that's one of my highest ones. I think I might write a book called Tough Skin and a Soft Heart. Right, Pastor Kimmy? You're writing books too. How many of you believe Pastor Kimmy needs to be writing some books? I'm putting her on blast. Yes! She has so many wonderful ones. The second one is forgiveness does not excuse the wrong, but it releases us from its power. You might say, but Pastor Shannon, if I forgive them, I'm letting them off the hook. I'm saying that it's okay. No, you're not. When you forgive, you are releasing yourself from bondage. You're releasing yourself from all the hurt. In Romans 12, 19, it says, do not take revenge, my dear brothers or my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. What does it mean to make room when it says make room for God? We need to step out of the way and let God do his job. If we continue to stand in judgment and try to deal with that person in our own way, we will only make matters worse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You tried to fix it. You tried to butt in. You tried to give your two cents. You tried. Listen, God will avenge you. God is a righteous judge. And you know what? People will reap what they sow. You've got to trust that God knows. And you might not see it now, but people will fall in to a place of reaping what they have sown in their life. But you know, Pastor Josh mentioned this too. So many times we want them to suffer. We want them to go through what they put us through. But you know what? Jesus shows us that we want to pray for them and give mercy because we were shown mercy. And maybe they didn't know what they're doing, or maybe they were so caught in sin and so bound, and they grew up in the same way, and they were in the same kind of a household, and so they are just doing what they were. It's a perpetual of dysfunction and trauma. Hurt people hurt people. And I'm not making light of anyone here that has been hurt. My heart breaks when I hear stories of the evil that has happened to people. God wants to heal you. God does not think it's right. We are not excusing the sin, but we are releasing it, and we are releasing it so it does not have power over us anymore. Amen. But number three is forgiveness is a process and a daily choice. I wish it was a one and done. I wish it was like, bam, I'm good. I can move on with my life. But more times than not, it's a journey. It's a continual process of forgiveness, just like a physical wound, just like Dr. Morocco is out for 8 weeks healing up from open heart surgery. And we have to remind him, doctor, make sure you rest. Take care of yourself. Forgiveness is a journey. If you need to go to the woman's encounter. So much healing happens at the woman's encounter. Come to the altars and get prayed for. Get in church as much as you can. Get into a life group, because that's all a process of healing and being restored. And in Matthew 18, 21, this is Peter. I love Peter. Anybody love Peter? He always puts his foot in his mouth. He's got, you know, I'm just like, so human. It's just so good to have a guy who just isn't perfect, because it makes me feel better, right? Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 18, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? And he says, up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. What does this speak of? Jesus is speaking of an unlimited forgiveness. He's not saying, oh, just 490 times. As a matter of fact, in the ancient Jewish teaching, forgiving 3 times was seen as generous. So I can just imagine Peter going, so Jesus, should I forgive 7 times? You know, thinking he's being so spiritual and so high and mighty because he's over 3, right? Should I? And Jesus is like, 77 times. This is a picture of this boundless forgiveness, that it was constant flow. Just as Christ does it for you, we've got to do it for others. But I want to say that, yes, forgiveness is a process. And it is a daily choice, but I have seen in my own life where it is supernatural. See, some of you have been hurt, maybe petty offenses, you know, little misunderstandings, but other of you, many of us have been wounded so deeply that it's cut us deep to the core, where we struggle so immensely that it's like we cannot live past that moment or that event that happened or what that person did. And you know, my family testimony is a testimony of forgiveness. When I was about 5 years old, growing up in Maui, my parents had moved from the mainland, and my dad wasn't saved, and my mom was a new Christian. She just became a part of the church, and she's growing in her faith. My dad, he was all about making money, all about his business, pride, all these things, but he was raised in a very broken home, and of course, he got himself caught up in a lot of lustful things, and there was infidelity multiple times, multiple affairs in their marriage. And it finally came out. My mom suspected for years, and he lied, and listen, my parents give me full permission to share this story because this is part of their redemption story. Amen. But, you know, he would lie about it, and finally it all came out, and everything hit the ceiling. Everything hit the fan, and it was, like, horrible. It was so horrible. My mom was so broken. My mom wanted to leave him. She wanted to take my sister and I. My dad was beside himself. I mean, everything. I remember them throwing things. And I would sit outside the door as like a 5-year-old girl just praying, not knowing what was going on. By God's grace, my dad repented. And the Lord spoke to my mom to stay with my dad. Now, she had the biblical backing to leave. But she had an encounter with the Lord one day, and the Lord gave her a vision how God was going to heal my dad, that my dad would turn to him, and God was going to heal her heart and bring healing to the generations. And God gave her a promise and says, I know you see on the here and now, Lana. I know you're hurt, and I know you're broken, but I'm not only going to heal your heart, I'm going to heal your husband's heart, and I'm going to touch your generations to come. I stand here today because of a woman that said yes to forgive and yes to walk that journey out. So God began to heal their marriage. It was a long process. My dad slept in the garage for a year. It wasn't overnight. It wasn't supernatural. It was a step-by-step choice daily, getting counseling, getting support. But about a year after that, my mom got asked to go to a church service. A friend of hers, a guy, said, hey, why don't you come? My sister and I weren't home. My dad wasn't home. It was a rainy night. And, you know, she didn't really want to go, but he kept kind of pushing that she needed to go. And so finally she said yes. And so he pulls up, and it's rainy outside, and she's kind of foggy. And she gets in the car, and lo and behold, who's sitting in the car is the other woman. And this other woman was actually my babysitter and my mom, one of my mom's best friends. She didn't know if she wanted to hit the lady, cry, scream, jump out of the car, but she was frozen in that moment because of the hurt and the offense that my mom carried. They end up going to this church service, this little Baptist church in Kahului. They trickle in to go sit down, and my mom and this lady sit down, and the guy goes sit somewhere else. God was doing a divine setup that day. All my mom remembers is that he's preaching about the body of Christ, and she's like, God, and God's prompting her to forgive. You've got to forgive her. God, I can't forgive her. What she did, what she took from my family, what she took from my marriage. And God says, you need to forgive. And in that moment, God showed her a vision of this woman wrapped like a mummy from head to toe and says she is bound in her condemnation. See, what my mom didn't know is that from that moment that this woman also gave her life to Jesus and repented and was working on her marriage. And she was bound up with so much shame and so much condemnation that she was bound like a mummy. And the Lord says, Lana, you have the power to set her free. So I pause there to jump to another story, because in that moment, my mom had a choice. The other story is a woman named Corrie Ten Boom. Have you all ever heard of her? I think we have a book right there. She wrote The Triumph of the Lord. For you kids that don't know about this woman, she is a mighty hero in the faith. She was from Holland. Her and her family helped Jewish people during the Nazis' time, during World War II, to try to hide them and protect them. Well, they got caught. And on the way to the concentration camp, her father died, but it was her and her sister that got taken to this concentration camp. They were stripped, mutilated, molested, beaten, starving, skinny. Their bones were sticking out of their body. These guards were so malicious and so evil and so demonic. And her sister, who was her best friend, died in that concentration camp. Years later, she gets out, she gets free, and her message becomes a message of forgiveness. Her story becomes one of how God took her from this horrible situation and the power of God's love and the power of forgiveness. And she's an older woman. She's been preaching her whole life this story. She ends back up in Germany. She preaches that message. And at the end of the service, a man walks forward with a trench coat, and immediately her eyes go back to him in his uniform. It was one of the guards that brutally beat her sister and her, and was one of the meanest ones. And he came up to her and said, Fräulein, I've done so much wrong. See, he didn't know who she was. He didn't know that he was one of the ones that beat her. And he said, I've done so wrong. Do you think God will forgive me? And he goes, will you forgive me? See, he had come to know Jesus. And in that moment, she said in her book, it's quite profound. It says, I stood there with a coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, she said. She prayed silently. She goes, I can lift my hand. I can do just that much. You supply the feeling. And she says that in that moment with her will, and she said, she put out her hand. And immediately as she put out her hand and the man clutched her hand, she said she felt like a warmth from heaven, a supernatural moment where she said, I forgive you. That moment was supernatural. Going back to my mom's story, my mom had just read that book. And she said, God, I can't do it. And she says, God, I need your supernatural power. And I want to see this woman free. And so in that moment, she says, God, you got to help me. And my mom explains how in that moment, she felt like a ball of love shoved into her heart. And immediately as it shoved into her heart, her hand went down to that woman. She grabbed that woman's hand and says, I forgive you. And they began to weep and they began to cry. And God began to restore that relationship. That woman was freed. That her marriage got restored. My parents' marriage got restored. God can do a supernatural work. And some of you tonight are going to experience a supernatural touch of God. Some of you have felt so wounded and so broken. You don't have to live that way any longer. But you can reach out to Jesus and say, I need your supernatural grace. But number four, is forgiveness is a pathway of healing. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be what? Healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. When you confess one to another, you know what's powerful about that scripture? It says that you can confess your sins to Jesus and he'll forgive you and he'll wash you. But it says confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Like I said this morning, a lot of brokenness happens in community and relationships, but also healing comes in relationships. So when you open up and you humble yourself, and maybe you've been one that has hurt someone else, be the person to go and repent tonight. Be the bigger person to humble yourself, because we sometimes don't even know what we've done. But if someone is hurt, go deal with it. If you are offended, don't just push it under the rug. Don't just talk about it. Don't just let it fester. Let it be a pathway to healing. It's amazing that according to research by Dr. Michael Berry, a pastor and an author of the book called The Forgiveness Project, all cancer patients, 61%, have forgiveness issues. And of those, more than half are severe. Do you know that unforgiveness is actually classified as in the medical books as a disease? Studies have found that the act of forgiveness can lower the risk of heart attack, improve cholesterol levels and sleep, reduce pain, blood pressure, levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. Come on, just for the natural benefits, get rid of it. Get rid of it. You don't need that in your body. We're mind, body, and spirit. And when you hold on to that bitterness, it is that bitter root. It is like a poison that festers in your heart. Number 5, forgiveness reflects the heart of God. How many of you are so grateful that God forgave you? How many of you are so grateful, like minister was talking about during offering, about where you just remember where you were and where you have been? In Luke 23, 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They have divided up his clothes by casting lots." Jesus is hanging on a cross. He is dying. He is mutilated. He is in pain. He is bleeding. He is hurting and he is suffering. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When we forgive, we reflect the heart of God. We, to the world, when they see you forgive someone, they go, "What is going on? Why are you not bitter? Why are you not upset?" And you begin to be a testimony of God's glory. Maybe people don't deserve it, but we didn't deserve forgiveness either. And yet Christ freely gave it to us. So in closing, I want to give you some practical steps to forgiveness. And this is moving from theory to actual practice. How do you do it? You're saying, "Pastor Shannon, this is great, but how do I do it?" Well, the first thing is acknowledge the hurt. Everyone say acknowledge the hurt. Recognize and admit that there's pain. It doesn't show weakness if you're struggling. Okay, look at me. Some of you strong men, some of you need to admit that you are hurt, that there is a need for God to heal you. The first step to the healing process is admitting it and not just pushing it off to the side. But the second thing is to choose to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. Like my mom, like Corrie Ten Boom, you're not gonna feel it. You're not gonna always want to, but it's a faith act. You say by the power of Jesus, "I forgive," and put their name in there. Put their name in there and speak it out. "I forgive my father. I forgive my mother. I forgive that person." It is a powerful declaration of making a choice to forgive. But the third thing is release the offense. Let go of the desire for revenge and retaliation and trust God to bring about the healing in his time. I want you to do something with me tonight really quickly. I want you to all close your eyes. I call this the great exchange, and I'm gonna walk you through a process right now that I do a lot of times, even in my times of meeting with people and ministering to them. I want you to all close your eyes. I want you to think of the hurt that maybe you're carrying. But first of all, I want you to just close your eyes, and I want you to visualize Jesus in the room. Where is Jesus in the room tonight? Maybe he's in front of you, behind you. When you've seen Jesus, and this is with your eyes closed, you're just visualizing right now, I want you to just lift your hands. You can say, I see Jesus in the room. Okay, good, good. Now I want you to look Jesus in the eyes, and I want you to see his love, his compassion, his mercy, his forgiveness. And I want you to see in your hands, I want you to put your hands out right in front of you like you're carrying this load. And whatever unforgiveness you're holding on to, that person, that situation, I want you to hold on to it. And I want you to give it to Jesus right now. Give him that pain. Give him that hurt. The offense, the bitterness. I want you to hand it over to Jesus right now. You got to release it. You've got to let it go. Okay, now, have you given it to Jesus? Have you given it to him? You trust him with it? Now I want you to say this. Jesus, what do you have for me in return? What do you have for me in return? And I want you to receive from the Holy Spirit. I want you to receive from Jesus tonight. See, healing's in this room right now. God is moving in this room right now. Some of you, he's releasing peace. Some of you, he's releasing joy. See, you can do this even in your own home. You can do this in your family. Parents, you can do this with your kids. When you see Jesus and you take those things that you carry and you give it to him, and then you ask him, what do you have for me in return? How many of you felt like the Lord revealed something to you? Raise your hand. Powerful. Isn't it good when Jesus speaks to you, when he ministers personally to you in your need? See, that's called releasing the offense. That's a activation that you can do. But another thing is, remember the depth of God's forgiveness towards you. Anytime I struggle with forgiving someone, I start remembering what God forgave me of. And I really don't have anywhere to judge because I want his forgiveness. Also, one thing I've learned is you've got to pray for the offender. God taught me that when I struggled with an offense with this one woman. And he said, you know, Shannon, you're sure grumbling a lot about this woman, and you sure talk a lot about what you don't like, but have you prayed for her? And I was like, oops, no, I have not. He says, why don't you start praying for her? And why don't you start asking me how I see her? And when I did that, God gave me insight into her life, into some of the struggles, and it gave me a compassion. And I began to pray, and God began to turn the situation. But lastly, is set up healthy boundaries. Now, I say this one because some of you should, yes, forgive. All of us should forgive. But that doesn't mean you let them all back into your life. If there's abuse, that is, you can forgive, but you don't bring that person back into your life. You understand? Okay, because I don't want you to get that messed up. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have full access to my life anymore. You create boundaries. I like to say it this way. Forgiveness is free, but trust has to be earned. Some of you, you've kept getting hurt because you've forgiven, but you've also not created healthy boundaries with the dysfunction. You've got to get help. You've got to not let your children with certain relationships, if there's been hurt there, you've got to create a safeguard. Because we don't want anyone to be mistreated. We don't want anybody to be in a cycle of abuse. And if you're married, listen, you can't just set boundaries and say, I don't want to see you anymore. You got to go get counseling, okay? You got to work through it in your marriage, amen? You got to keep, right? Go to that marriage, that fall in love marriage night, right? Because that's something that you got to work out. You got to work out. So let's read that scripture as I close tonight one more time. Colossians 3:13, read it with me. I don't know if they have it up there. There it is, come on. Bear with each other each other and forgive one another. Come on, I want to hear you. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And above all these virtues, put on love. Come on, everybody needs to put on love. Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And see, when we choose to forgive and begin to heal, God takes all of our broken pieces. He takes the shattered places of our lives and He makes something so beautiful. He makes beautiful masterpieces out of your story. See, I believe the picture of the church is this. We're not flawless, we're redeemed. We're not shattered, we're restored. We're not broken, we're renewed. We're not fractured, we're made whole. We're not discarded, we're repurposed. We're not damaged, we're transformed. We're not ruined, we are reimagined. We're not scattered, we're gathered. We are not fragmented, we're united. We are not perfect, but we are healed. That is the perfect description of the church. That we're all of our broken pieces together make something so beautiful. And the world comes because they see the beautiful stained glass window. They see the beautiful mosaic. And I want to end with this. I want you to look at this perfect picture of Jesus. Can you look closely to it? It makes me want to cry every time I see this. These are all the faces of the people in Maui put together in a mosaic. Every face, a part of our church, makes up the body of Christ. You make the body of Christ. Your face, your story, your life. Tonight, God is calling you to be a part of the body. This morning, we talked about the power of we. And tonight, we talked about the power of forgiveness. And I believe is that as we forgive, as we walk this out, that we're going to see a church that is healed and whole, that revival, the rivers of revival will begin to flow like none other because we're not offended anymore. We're not letting the past hold us back from our purpose and our destiny.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.